that I had last time. Bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. And we went through Hebrews and we said, what are angels? And the Bible tells us that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Amen. So we looked at some of that and we went into when they were created in Job. And when were they created? When were they created? All right, I heard all kinds of things. Job 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, it means that they were created when God created the earth or before God created the earth. So we looked into that scripture and we looked into why they were created, Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And verse 14 tells us, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? And what's that word mean? Serve. For them who shall be heirs of salvation. Amen. That should give you encouragement because it tells us that the angels were created to look after you. Who are the heirs of salvation? We are. Amen. That's who we are. The heirs of salvation. If you've been born again, if you've been baptized in his name and filled with his spirit, you are the heirs of salvation. That's why 1 Corinthians 6:3 says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The reason why we're going to judge angels is because originally we were created higher than angels. The Bible says we were created in his image and in his likeness. The angels were not created in his image and in his likeness. Amen. And then I talked about what seems to be something off the topic. I talked about, anyone can remember what I talked about 2 weeks ago? That seemed didn't have anything to do with angels, it seemed. All right, you're not going to remember. Limits to freedom. And I said, what are some limits to freedom? Explain. Okay. Yes, if I want to go buy a car, I see a car at the parking lot, and I go to buy it, but just before I buy it, someone else buys it. Their choice has limited my freedom. I can't buy that car anymore, so choices that other people make limit our freedom. Anything else can limit our freedom. Can I do anything I want? That's right. I'm limited by my physical being. As I said, it's unlikely that I will be able to dunk. Don't laugh. I might try it. At least not normally. Maybe if I get on a trampoline or if they lower the rim. But at my age, it's unlikely now that I will be able to dunk. So I have a physical limitation. I'm not free to do everything. I'm not free to run 45 miles an hour. Neither are you. Right? So we have some limits to our freedom. There's moral limits too. There are things that I could do, but I wouldn't do because they're wrong. So there are physical limitations, moral limitations, and as Malcolm said, the choices of others limits us. So when we say we're free, we don't mean free to do absolutely anything. I'm not free to fly, right? Why can't I fly? That's very good. I'm not a bird. And what is it physically about a bird that allows it to fly? It has wings. It has hollow bones. It's got all kinds of other things that enable it to fly. The point I was trying to make is that the vessel that you come in limits what you can do. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? The vessel that you are in limits what you can do. If my brother, I think he has what's known as fast twitch muscle. When he was 30 years younger, or in his teens. I think he was Milwaukee City champion at the 400 meters. He won one year in all of Milwaukee. He used to be very fast. So if I was going to beat him at something, it wasn't going to be to being faster than him. I had to be, you know, we used to play hours and hours of table tennis. And he would never give up until he won something. Just wore me out. But so there, we are limited by the vessel, the body that we're in. A cheetah can run 60, 70 miles an hour because of the body that it's in. It's got a special curvature to its back and special things that enable it to run that fast. So again, we're limited by many things. I said we're limited by the choices of others. If someone goes, we're coming to church, and we see a parking spot, and someone comes and pulls into that parking spot, there goes our choice. We can't park there anymore. Is that unfair? No, they got there first. Right. They exercised their choice before us. It's not unfair. They just happen to be there. And then there's moral choices we talked about. That there are things that I could do, that I physically could do, but they're not right. I could physically steal something, but that doesn't make it right. So that's not a limitation on the body, but it's a limitation of a moral code. So I've outlined three things that limit our freedom. And I've given you two of the explanations. And I showed this example about a physical limitation, right? That the creature that is both a butterfly and a caterpillar is limited when it's a caterpillar, it can't fly. But when the body changes, so does the limitations. Do you understand where I'm going? The body, when it changes, changes the limitations. And this will take me a couple weeks to really teach this properly, but this is what I'm trying to show you, that the change of the vessel changes the freedoms that come with it. So it's amazing that this little grubby thing that can hardly move, that one day it goes into a cocoon, comes out completely different. I mean, completely different. And now it's beautiful and it can fly. Its limitations and its freedoms are completely different. So every body vessel has limited freedoms and roles. A baby cannot do what an adult does, right? On Sunday, Sister Melissa testified that baby Vera finally went off the bed. She has reached a level in her body development now where she can do something that mommy didn't realize, maybe. You know, a day-old baby, you put them in the middle of the bed, they're not going anywhere. But after 5 or 6 months, they've been testing out different parts of their limitations, and it always happens. Happened to all of my kids. There was a point where they fell off the bed. I know, you were a perfect parent. Never happened to yours. See, Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I said all of that because really we're talking about the ministry of angels. And what I'm going to give you the overview is that all of the creatures that God has created, they have certain limitations based upon the body or the nature or the vessel that God has given. I'll come to you, Sister Mary, since... No, that's okay.
When you're saying that, I'm thinking about how people, you know, the genders want to be with each other, but there are limitations on your body. You can't just be as you want to be because you're a man and you're a woman. So you can't do what you naturally, you know, what we naturally can do.
Well, that's absolutely true, that you cannot procreate because there's a physical limitation. No matter what some people think that they feel they are, there's a physical limitation to being absolutely equal with the gender that you were born with. That's a very good point. So what I told you all of that because I want to get you thinking about the creatures that God has created and the fact that they all have limitations and roles, and that's the way he created them. So We're talking about the ministry of angels and the created beings. And I said in past lessons that there are four types. Revelation 4:6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts. It's translated beasts, but in modern English it would be four creatures, full of eyes before and behind. The first beast or creature was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, the fact that they have different body types goes to what the point I'm trying to say, that they have different roles, different limitations, and different authorities. And when we go to the book of Ezekiel, it fills out for us a little bit more of the creatures. And what I said before was that the lion symbolized Son of God, because Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Of course, the man, that doesn't really need too much interpretation. 100 times in Scripture, actually more than 100 times, one of the names is Son of Man when it's speaking of the human vessel. And of course, we went through and decoded the other two creatures. The eagle represents the seraphim, and the cherubim is represented by the symbol of the ox. The ox. And you notice, and this is a side note, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, what did they ask Aaron to make a statue of? A calf, baby ox. And so the cherubim is symbolized by the ox. And we get that decoded for us in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 1 and in chapter 10, where it makes it plain what all of the creatures are. And this is just review. So another point I want to make to you is that the vessel defines the dominion. Because freedom, right, to do something means you have dominion in that something, right? If I want to go, after I leave church, buy Chinese food, I have the dominion to go do it, right? So freedom is associated with dominion. If you are free to do something, it means you have control or dominion over that thing. If you are not free to do it, it means you don't have control or dominion. So freedom is also associated with dominion. And as I said, since the vessel defines freedom, the vessel also defines the dominion. And let's look at this. It's all related to some of the things I've been teaching on Sunday as well. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And as I said, man originally, who was the first man? Adam. And who was he? What was his type? Son of God. And he was given total dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he had dominion because his vessel was what type? Son of God. Hope you understand what I'm saying. So Adam had total freedom because he was given total dominion over the whole planet and over everything that crept upon the planet. He was given no physical limitation. He was given no choice of others to take away his choice. He only had one limitation. What was that? I gave you three, so what's the other one? It wasn't physical. It wasn't the choice of others. What was the other one I said? Moral. He only had a moral limitation, and that was obedience to God. Remember, I said the moral limitation doesn't limit me physically. If I want to steal something, I'm free to do it, but I shouldn't. So Adam had no physical limitation. I bet if he wanted, he could have levitated. I bet if he wanted to walk on water, he could have done that too, because he was Son of God just like Jesus, except he sinned. He had no limitation. He could have dunked. Because he was created the most perfect man at that time that there was. God doesn't do second best. Do you know that? God does not do hand-me-downs. He doesn't do, let me try this and, you know. That's what I do. I go through several versions before I get anything close to the finished thing. So he was given total dominion. That means he had freedom. And the proof of it was this. I didn't put it in this slide, but God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest. Isn't that amazing? Before he gave him the moral limitation, he said, listen, you have no physical limitation. Your vessel is not going to stop you. There's not some invisible wall, or the tree is not going to be so high that you can't get it. He says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But here comes the moral limitation. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou should not eat, or else there's going to be a consequence. So the full dominion, the total dominion, is given to the sons of God. And the Son of God is symbolized by the lion. Now, I think we got up to this point last week. So the dominion was given, the fullness of dominion and total freedom was only given to the sons of God. Isn't that what the scripture says, that in Christ we are set free? Isn't that what it says? Amen. But Paul also goes on to say, I shouldn't use my liberty to sin. Again, when you're in Christ, you only have one limitation. In Christ, fully, when we get the full dominion, we will only have one limitation. That will be obedience to God. But it shouldn't be because we fear God. It should be out of love. That was the true difference between Adam and Jesus. And we'll get to that. So the full sonship dominion is expressed in verse 8. For thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we don't see it. We can't see it right now. But now we see not yet all things put under him. And it goes on to explain that Jesus, the second Son of God, was made lower than the angels, again, for the purpose of suffering death. So, this is where we're really going to start tonight. So the amount of freedom depends upon your dominion. Let me say it again. The amount of your freedom depends upon your dominion, which depends on what type you are. If you're a son of God type, you are free. He that the Son hath set free, isn't that what the scripture says? Right? And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded of the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He was truly expressing, listen, I have given you dominion. That's why I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to physically stop you from doing something I don't want you to do. You may freely eat of any of the trees of the garden. So that proved that Adam had total dominion. If there had been a wall, a physical limitation, that would have proved that what God said was not true. He said, I've given you dominion over everything that's on the planet Earth, including the fish and the trees and whatever. Malcolm?
I was just going to ask, so why do you think God allowed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to remain in the garden?
Okay, I will tell you that, but not this week. That's too long an explanation. And actually, you should know. You should know. That proves we have to do a refresher. Okay. So now, let me go in a little bit detail. I'm going to try and answer that question for you, Malcolm, but I need to lay a foundation. So I'm going to go over now, real slow, the two things that every vessel has. Remember? I said there's four types of creatures, sentient creatures, that means intelligent beings that God has created. Okay, so there's two things that come. You have dominion, and dominion means you have authority, power to rule, or an area of responsibility. And there's another thing that comes with dominion, and that's a role, or a job, or a task. So for every creature that God created, they have two things given to them. Dominion and a role. Dominion and a role. Remember what I preached, what I taught Sunday? In the parable, he said what? He's going away to a far country, so occupy. There's a job. You get dominion, but you also have a role. So there's two things that come with every created being that God has created that is sentient. Of the four creatures, there's dominion, which means authority, which means the power to rule, an area of responsibility. And then there is a role that is associated with that. Okay, so tell me, what was the, we've talked about the dominion that Adam had. What was the role that was given him? Okay, that, yes, that's part of it. That was a sub part of it, yes, because he had dominion, but what did God expressly give him as a role? All right. Let's look at it. So he had total freedom. Only limitation was obedience to the Father. And Adam's dominion, of course, was the whole earth and everything in it. And his role is this: be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. So he had dominion and he had a role. That's very important to know those two things, because we know that he lost what? And he also lost the role. Part of it anyway. He lost dominion. So those are the two things that a son of God has, right? Isn't that really what we're supposed to do? What was Jesus' last command in Matthew 28 when he's leaving his disciples? It's really an echo of Adam's role. What does it say? Be fruitful. Aren't we as sons of God supposed to be fruitful? We're supposed to multiply, replenish, that is fill, and subdue. We're supposed to, that's our role as sons of God. It hasn't changed. Do you see that? Do you see that? And so a son of God, this is their power. They are to have dominion and they have a role. Now let's look at some of the other creatures, the cherubim. The cherubim, as I said last time, his main role is as a guardian and a warrior and a defender. In Genesis 3:24, God placed a cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So anyone remember what the symbol of a cherubim is? The symbol of the Son of God is, come on now, I just said it. The symbol of a Son of God is the lion. Lion, right? Come on. All right, everybody got their sleep? I'm the only one who should be dozy in here. Okay, so the symbol of the Son of God is a lion. Can anyone remember, and I said it not too long, what is the symbol of the cherubim? The ox. The ox. The symbol of the cherubim is the ox. And next week we'll go into some reasons and more detail why. Now remember what I said. Each creature was given a dominion. And what was the other thing they're given? A role or a job or a task. So the dominion of the cherubim is limited to the word of God. That's all they can act upon. Their dominion only extends as far as the word of God. In other words, God's law. They can only operate under the word of God. They can only say what God says and do what the law of God commands. That's all they can do. That's their limitation. They can't go beyond the word of God. Their role, the cherubim, as I said, is as warriors and guardians. Genesis 3:24, so he placed out, drove the man out of the garden, he placed east of the Garden of Eden. And of course, on Sunday, I quoted Galatians 4:1 when he said, we were under tutors and guardians. So the cherubim, their original dominion was limited to what God says. They couldn't do anything outside of what God says or his word. And their role was simply as guardians and tutors. In other words, servants. So that was their limitation. The symbol is an ox. Sister Mary. You have to get to the mic.
Does that mean that since the cherubim had limitations, they couldn't go past God's word, they were guardian and tutors? I thought Satan was the guardian and tutor.
Okay. Again, I didn't say what their limitation was, but their limitation, all of the creatures, their moral limitation is obedience. To stay within their type, they were limited to God's word. I didn't say that they had to. All of the creatures that God has created have freedom of choice. If that wasn't the case, Satan could never have rebelled, could he? He could never have rebelled. I'm saying to stay within their type, they were limited to only being their dominion, being the word of God. Okay? Now, seraphim, can anyone remember what I said their symbol was? The eagle. Okay? So we got it now. The lion represents sons of God. The cherubim is the ox. And the seraphim is the eagle. So the seraphim, their role was as destroyers. Death angel. Angel of destruction. And they also reflect God's glory. Hebrews 1:7. And the angels, he saith, who make his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Seraphim means fiery flying serpent or dragon. And so their symbol was an eagle or a snake or a serpent. But now let me go over their dominion. Their dominion, again, is limited to the word of God. They cannot go outside the word of God. But their role is a little bit different from the cherubim. Anyone would think what the seraphim's role is? Well, they're worshipers. Remember in Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. So their role is as worshipers. They reflect God's glory. That's why they're a flame of fire, because they're always around the throne unless they're destroying something. Unless they're destroying something. In the book of Exodus, when the people rebelled, God sent symbolically fiery serpents. And it bit the people and they started to die. So now we see the four types and we see, well, there's one more. What's the one I haven't said yet? I've said three of them. I've said Son of God, which is the lion. I've said the cherubim, which is the ox, and I said the seraphim, which is the eagle. There's one I haven't said yet. Son of man. Now, son of man actually represents fallen man. And I got that wrong, but his dominion, as I told you Sunday, the only dominion fallen man has is his soul. Satan has dominion over the body. And our role is as a servant and worker. That was the curse that God said. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That's why we all got to get up Monday morning and go to work. Right? Because we have not had the redemption of the kingdom yet, as I taught Sunday. So his role is as a worker and a servant to God in the truest sense of the word. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And our role also includes being a servant to God. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Again, all of God's creatures still have that moral limitation of obedience to God. So now I've given you the four creatures and their limitations and their roles. So we can see that originally, Adam, his dominion was total. His role was to replenish, fulfill, multiply, all those things. But then when he sinned, there was a role reversal. There was a role reversal. Psalms 8:4 gives us what happened. But what is man? And he uses a different word for man there, mortal man, Enosh, that thou art mindful of him, the son of man. And that son of man is Benai Adam, son of Adam, which was the son of God, that thou visitest him. For thou hast, and I put in brackets there, now made him a little lower than the angels. When man sinned, he became subject to what? Death. When God created him, man was immortal. But thou, he was higher than the angels. He was made in God's image, in his likeness. And that's why Psalms 8:4 uses a new word that's not used in the first three chapters of Genesis. It's not made until man becomes fallen man. Then he uses a different word for man, Enosh, meaning mortal, subject to death. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have, originally we were made to have complete dominion. And this is the verse that is quoted in Hebrews that adds some more light to this. It says, but now you have made him lower, applying it to Jesus for the purpose of suffering death. And that's the clue to understanding who this was applied to. So we see that there was a role reversal. Because, as I explained Sunday, man obeyed Satan, we lost that dominion. It became transferred to the cherubim. He gained all the things that Adam had. All of that dominion he gained. Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest therefore of, thou shalt surely die. Man lost dominion. There was a swap. There was a swap. Satan now gained, the cherubim gained the dominion to be able to step outside of the word of God. Remember what I said, his dominion before was limited to the word of God. Adam had dominion over the total earth, and that's what Satan gained. And as I taught Sunday, you saw that with the king of Babylon. Who was here Sunday school? Okay, so if you're here Sunday school, you understand what I'm saying. So now, from that point on, instead of man ruling, the angels ruled. The angels ruled all the way up until Jesus came. Hebrews 2:2 makes that clear. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. It goes on to say there was no mercy, because even the angels that were not rebellious were limited now by what God said. Paul in Romans makes it clear the law came to make sin more sinful. The law came to make sin more sinful. And the dominion switched to the angels, and even the good angels, all they could do was carry out the word of God. Their dominion was limited to that. Now, Satan wasn't limited to that because he had taken Adam's dominion. And he had also taken Adam's role, which was to multiply, replenish, and subdue. That's why he had dominion over the whole earth. And I showed this scripture Sunday. And that's why when he came to tempt Jesus, he could say, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That's how mankind's role and dominion was reversed. That's what happened. His role and dominion was reversed. Now, remember what I said. It's the vessel that limits dominion, and it's the vessel that also sets the freedom. As I said, I cannot physically fly in this body. And that's why the Bible says that we are sown an earthly vessel, but we are going to be raised a celestial vessel, a completely different creature. And that's why, again, this body has to die. It's limited. And it explains, too, why even though when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the limitation is not with God. The limitation is with this vessel. The scripture makes that clear. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What the scripture is telling us, that if it wasn't for God, this flesh would completely rule. Would completely rule. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You see, this explains the fact why we are still not able to be in the fullness of a Son of God, because the limitation is this vessel. The limitation is this vessel. And it even applied to Jesus Christ. When he came in this vessel, didn't he? The Bible says he was made like unto his brethren in the form of what? Sinful flesh, sinful man. And because of that, even though he was God, he had some limitations because of the vessel. And this is very important to understand what I'm going to teach next week. So it's the limitation of the vessel. And the proof of this, of course, Jesus himself gave it. In Matthew 24:36, when they were asking about when his second coming would be, he said, but the day and the hour knoweth no man. And I didn't put the right scripture, but in the other scripture it says, neither the Son. How could that possibly be? He was God. But what I'm trying to explain to you, that the vessel limits the freedom, limits the dominion, limits the power. You understand what I'm saying? He says, no, the only person who knows that is the Father. It wasn't because in his deity he didn't know it, but in the vessel that he was inhabiting, it was not possible. Jesus, that's one of the reasons Jesus had to walk around. Anytime he walked around for himself. Now, he did go on the water. He did a miracle on the water, but that was because he was wanting to deliver the disciples. But he didn't do any miracles for himself. Do you notice that? The devil said, turn this stone into bread. Right? He was hungry. If he had done it, he would have symbolically given up dominion. The Bible says that we have to submit to God, and then we are able to do what? Resist the devil. And then he will flee from us. I refused to let him get me down, because I could tell what was happening. Because I stood up here Sunday, and I challenged him with some things. I tell you, as soon as Yvonne left here, Sister Johnny caught my face. I didn't even have to say anything, because she was headed down to Michigan, and she hadn't gone like about half an hour. Sister Johnny had not come back, and she had an accident, and she hit a car. So the moment she called me, she said, bad news, and the whole nine yards. You know, it's just because I declared some things, the devil would have to do something. And then she had about 6-hour drive because of weather. She had to stop so many times. And I just knew it was because the devil said, okay, I heard you Sunday. Let's test your sonship. Let's see how, if you're going to hold fast to me. And I didn't really even say, I guess my face was showing something when she walked. She said, what's the matter? I thought I was better than that at hiding it. But I'm still flesh. Nevertheless, it says, let me go back to that scripture. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I just said to her, well, it's okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember what I said about Job? That he said, naked I came, naked I'm going to go. We have to have the attitude in mind that we are going to have our sonship challenged. Especially when you get up on a Sunday and say, God be blessed and God be praised and I'm going to be victorious. He's going to come and say, okay, let me see where your sonship is standing. You know, and then when I got into work, they gave me this huge thing that I could not possibly finish and a deadline I could not possibly make. And so I had to stay up again and I was, you know, tired and all of that. But it says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Because I remembered what I told you guys. I said, I'm not going to let the devil get me on this one. And I give God the glory because he helped me do a miracle and get the thing done before I thought I could do it. Amen. So I'm free now. Amen. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. See, we are going to bear some scars. The devil is going to try and attack us because of the limitation of this earthen vessel. But here's the promise. We shall be changed. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown a mortal body. It's raised an immortal body. Whatever you're going through right now, God has got a plan to change this vessel. He's going to change the limitations. He is returning us back to full sonship. And as I said, the proof of it was that even Jesus said, because of the limitation of the vessel, the manifestation he came in, that only the Father knew that date. Now, next week, I'm going to really use this. All of this has been foundation to explain a lot of things in the Old Testament, is where I'm going with this. Because what I want to show you is that it was because of the vessel and the limitations that even when in the Old Testament it may have been, it speaks about the angel of the Lord spoke, the angel of the Lord still had to stay within the description, the role and the authority of that type. It's only when God manifested as a son of God could he have full dominion again. And that's why Satan came to, he didn't bother with the angels. He didn't care about the angels. He didn't even want to challenge them. But a son of God, that's a whole different matter. That's a whole different matter, because he knows that the prophecy given in Genesis that the seed of the woman would crush his head. Do you understand that we are the children of God? We are his offspring. And that's why Satan hates you. And if he can possibly, he's going to come and try and destroy your earthen vessel. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that God gives us the victory. He'll try and give you pain in your back. He'll try and give you some arthritis in your fingers. Because the power, the limitation, is this earthen vessel. He'll try and take away your joy. He'll try and bring some financial distress upon you. He'll try and take you down. Don't worry about it. You may not be able to see your way out because of the limitation of this earthen vessel. One of these days we get a new vessel. It won't be an earthen vessel. Amen. Amen. This is short because I don't really want to start the next part of it, but I'm just laying the foundation here. What I'm trying to show you, that every creature that God has created, they have a dominion and a role. And it was the Son of God that had the highest dominion and the highest role. And that's what God is wanting to return us to. When Jesus came, the Bible said he came to bring many sons to glory. You know who that is? That's you and that's me. He came to restore the sonship. In John 17, he said, I have manifested thy name, the name that thou gavest me. You see, he was different from Adam in that his moral limitation was out of love. It was out of love. It wasn't out of anything else. It was love to the Father. Adam's moral limitation was broken because of love to Eve. The Bible says he was not deceived, right? He knew what he was doing, but he so loved her, he identified with her sin. In essence, setting up the fact that God so loved us that he came in this vessel to identify with our sin that we could be redeemed. And I'm going to end, I only did 1 hour, this is good, with this thing that really sets it up for next week. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, John 19:30, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It's in there twice. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And that symbolized the end of the angelic rule. Their reign, their dominion was finished. As I taught a couple weeks ago when we taught this. That's why when it came to Peter and the Gentiles, the angel came to Nicodemus and said, not Nicodemus, but to Cornelius and said, go send men to Joppa and look for one Peter. He'll be on a rooftop. Call him and he'll tell you what to do. You know what that shows? Their dominion had gone. They could no longer tell Cornelius what to do. Do you understand that? They could no longer tell Cornelius because they had to now. Dominion had started to return back to the Son of God. And how do we know it? Because on the day of Pentecost, there came a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And that was the key to coming back to sonship. Because the Bible says that those that are led by the Spirit, to them gave he power to what? Become the sons of God. That's why the angels could no longer do anything except send for Peter to come and preach the gospel. God could no longer use them. Their ministry was finished. When he said it was finished, he didn't just mean salvation was paid, but he also meant the dominion of the angels. Satan still has dominion of the earthly kingdom, but as I taught on Sunday, Babylon has fallen. We no longer going to die and go to the place of the grave, but our hope and our belief and our faith should be is that to be absent from this body is to be with Christ. I told you some time ago, when I started to understand this, I really lost my fear of death. You know, I fear losing loved ones, but personally, at my age now, if it wasn't that for you people and my family, I can honestly tell you, I do not fear that. When my time comes, I'm going to go smiling. I'm telling you the truth because I believe what I'm telling you. If I don't believe what I'm telling you, then Paul said, if in this life alone we had hope, we would be what? Of men most miserable. But I absolutely believe what I'm telling you, that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you've been baptized in his name and you believe in the shed blood and covering of Jesus Christ, you are not actually going to die. You just get a new vessel. You change from that caterpillar into that beautiful butterfly. Amen. You get to go to heaven and be in the throne room. Amen. Let's stand tonight. See, that's why you got to come to church on time, because you come late, you miss half of it. Amen. Now, next week, it is finished. It is finished. Next week is going to be very important, because I'm going to tie all of this together and explain really another aspect, which I've taught before about the law, but I think I'm putting it together a different way to explain to you the ministry of angels during the time from the time that Adam sinned until Jesus came. And you'll understand now why the Old Testament is the way it is, because of their dominion and because of their role. Because of their dominion and because of their role. What did I say their dominion is limited to? Angels, the Word of God, the law. The law. They couldn't go outside of that and stay within the typology. But thanks be to God, Paul says in Romans, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And he says in Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of sin and death. Amen. I'm telling you that despite all the things that the devil wants to throw at you, despite how the fact that we as yet don't see Jesus in the flesh, he told Thomas, blessed is he who believes, having not seen. Thomas said, unless I actually see Jesus and I'm able to put my hand in his side and put my finger in the, I'm not going to believe. But Jesus said to Thomas, I'm glad you believe now, but more blessed are those who haven't not seen. Do you understand that that's a blessing? That Jesus proclaimed on you, if you have not physically seen Jesus, you're still blessed if you believe and if you trust. Because he said, blessed is it for those who believe, having not seen. And I'm telling you today that my faith in the shed blood of Christ and his mercy and his grace is greater, much greater than it was some years ago when I understood and believed that it's looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we're called to do today. That's what we're called to do today. It's to look unto Jesus. Brother Javante, God is going to provide for you. Those of you who are sick right now, God is going to provide. There's some limitations with this vessel. But if you've got the treasure in the earthen vessel, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. See, I said on Sunday he could take my car, so he decided he would want to try. But you know, Satan, you are a liar. Because even if you do, God can give me a better. Amen. God has got better things. He says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, but God has got in store for those who love him. It's only been revealed through faith right now, through the Spirit. We see God's blessings by faith. Amen. When we pray, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to I've said this before, but visualize what it is you would like God to do. Remember what I said faith is. Seeing what normal eyes can't see. See what it is you want God to do. See, we're limited if we look with natural eyes, because this vessel is natural. It's natural. But I want you to see, to visualize what it is you want God to do. And when you pray, visualize what it is you want God to do. Just keep seeing it by faith, by your imagination. Just see it. Just see it and start believing it. And I'm telling you that it will happen. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We haven't had the full redemption of the body, but we've been sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said, even now, we can ask. If we ask according to his will, it shall be done. Jesus, when he was leaving this world, he said, I pray not only for these disciples, but all they who would come through their word. That's me and you. And we want by faith tonight to pray a prayer to God tonight, saying, Lord, I will not let the devil take away my joy. I will not let the devil take away my faith. I will not let the devil take away my trust. I am going to believe you for the thing that I have asked you for, because I know that there is a treasure in this earthen vessel. And although this vessel is limited, there is no limitation with God. There is no limitation with God. Lord, we just come to you tonight. Father, we humble ourselves before your throne. And we know there is no limitation with you. Yes, we cannot see it in this limited vessel. But Lord, we know there is no limitation with you. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus.